Hi, everybody. Welcome to Chat of the Wild. In this season, we're playing through The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom for the Nintendo Switch. In our last episode, we've been doing a lot of exploring, and it's been leading up to this final moment. The start of a temple.
Woo!
I do want to say, ahead of everything, I take back the stuff that, like, I want to take back the feelings I had, and also just, like, fight against what people were saying, talking trash about the divine beasts.
Yeah.
Like, those were dungeons. They were
get
temples.
Over here.
They just
get over on this side of the room. Thank you.
They just all happened to have the same kind of design theme in them, right? Like, they were all just sort of the same. It was like built of the same material for all of them. And that's really, I think, maybe what was lacking in them. And after seeing this one here, I'm super hopeful, like, thinking about what we saw in the trailers, about we're going to get some diversity in here, which I think was the biggest issue with them. Actually navigating them, all that, great. We're going to have a really great episode coming up, spoiler, in this episode that you're listening to right now. But it just made me think, like, yeah, Divine Beasts, those were dungeons. What? Why? Why were we arguing this?
Because you don't get, like, an item in them that is essential to... You already got the item at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same, but it's the same here. Like,
they're,
I mean,
also,
well,
like,
we're jumping ahead.
Smaller,
but.
I feel like. I feel like the Divine Beasts were... They were larger than the shrines, but they were smaller than, like, what you typically think of when you think of a Zelda dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
And this one was a little bit... bigger. It felt larger, even if it wasn't. It was still like a small enclosed space. Yeah,
this one had a preamble, I think, is what makes it feel so big.
Mm-hmm.
And it also sort of circles around where you have this whole thing leading up to it, and then after you're there, it builds up to where we're getting way ahead right now. Let's talk about where we're at. So Tolan, he is a teenager. He's stubborn, but he's really good, and we can't deny that. He is the best.
No one he's related to can deny it. The town can't deny it.
Right. He has the power to move wind whenever he feels like, which no other Rito or really like anybody in this way that we've ever interacted with could. But yes, he is so good, but also he's a teenager and also like is stubborn and doesn't think things through. And so he has flown off after getting in an argument with his dad. And we do have to go find him. Now, we do go find the Rito reconnaissance team because apparently he's been working with them.
They're out there trying to get, what, food?
Yeah, right now they're, it's really just scavenging resources because, I mean, yeah, the winter that has been thrown at them, which as far as we can tell, has maybe just happened in the last couple of weeks. Right, like if we're doing when the apocalypse began, it's only been a few weeks, and suddenly they're just like everything's frozen. Of course, we didn't prep for this. Although, I mean, they're birds. Don't birds typically like? No,
feathers.
I guess not.
Feathers keep them warm. You
I
know.
Mean, they have like.
I meant like hoarding food. They're not
birds
really like
don't, birds don't really hoard food. No, that's like squirrels, rodents. Not
I always
birds.
Get those confused.
Right.
Birds and squirrels.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Birds are the ones that go, right? No. So.
I mean, if they're echolocating, maybe.
Maybe. We go and chase him down. Now, we were told to talk to, what was his name?
Hearth.
With the recon. Hearth, right. We go check with him. I actually found him before because, you know, all of us probably did a lot of exploring before we did this and maybe ran into this guy.
And he's easy to find because he has these giant bonfires next to him, which is the whole point. Mm-hmm. So.
Right. Which they've been doing that a lot to get us to go places or as markers for like, hey, head over to that bonfire in a lot of different places in the map so far.
And it was a little disappointing because when I first got in there, you know, you see all that stuff and you're like, oh, something's going on here. And then I walk in and no one has a red dot on their word bubble. And I'm just like, wait, what is this house then? Why does this even exist? This doesn't make sense.
You're like,
need
something
a quest
is here.
Right. if you don't have a quest for me, why do you even exist?
To go that point that way.
But yeah, we needed to go to the actual like Rito town first, then come back here. And he directs us sort of up the mountain. We're not like climbing the peak necessarily. That's not like really our goal. Yeah. It's going up the mountain, but not all the way to the top. They talk about some caves. Something.
What?
You look like you were going to say something. Sorry.
Oh, I had something to say, but I was going to wait until it was relevant.
Thank you.
But they're searching for food in the caves where, you know, like glowing cave fish and mushrooms that can be found there. And yeah.
So many fish. So many fish.
Mm-hmm. Chillfin trout, you know.
We go through all of this, and I don't know about you guys, but I had already, again, been doing so much exploring, going into a cave and everything. I was just like, oh, new cave entrance. All right, let's go. Like, it wasn't even any prep, or it wasn't like concern, which is really against the sort of the story that they're trying to sell, where they're just like, this winter has been so tough on us. We don't know what to do. We've been trying to prep so much, and we have all of this here. Right.
I have apples. Do you want some apples?
Be sure to get all the fire fruit that you can. You're going to need it. Maybe some clothing. I'm just like, yeah, I already did that, man. It's all good. Let's go.
Like, you see me decked out in my full Rito set? Ayo.
You got the full set?
Yeah, I bought the full set.
I did because I want the collection.
I've been rocking the warm pants from the Sky Island, the Inter Island, and I forget where we get it, but the shirt that gives you that bonus ice attack.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
I think that's in a cave somewhere.
Okay.
It is in a cave. It's in a cave in these mountains. There's a full outfit you can get for that.
Oh, cool. It
makes you look like a shaman. It's really cool.
It makes you look... Okay, so fun. This is
Renato?
Like, this is off over here now. The full set makes you look like Nadra. The headdress is Nadra's horn pattern.
Be a dragon. Okay.
Yeah, you're a dragon. Ooh.
Cool. I hung out with Nadra recently, but
I wonder if we're gonna get and like I specifically noticed it because I was like, oh, I want to say this. I threw it all on in the middle of the cold. And when you're actually like in the cold, where like you get the bonus attack, the outfit itself lights up with like a snowflake pattern, and the headdress, all the parts that are up here turn bright blue, just like Nadra's horns. And I was like, oh, I see where this is going. Okay,
that's cool.
I'm like, are we gonna get other ones for the other dragons?
You're bearing the lead, though. The bottoms are some really fly, flared-out bell-bottoms.
They are. With some really nice flats, which is perfect for traipsing around in the snow.
Okay, yeah. Absolutely. See, with me, everyone's just like, dude, is it laundry day? Are you cold? I'm like, no, I'm fine. We're good.
It's you and Addison out there. Yeah. Had a fire elixir. We're good.
I told BC that I bought the Rito headpiece and then was like, I don't need this. I spent like 650 rupees on it and never put it on.
But we continue exploring, go through some caves, meet a couple Ritos along the way that when we first get in one of these caves, there's this one Rito that is just sort of like, I don't have time for you. I'm doing this stuff. Just keep going.
He's got a clipboard. It's like, I'm doing inventory right now, man. Like, there, Tolan and some other old dude are up ahead. Go find him.
We get up there, and Tolan's bow has been stolen by what are these things called? These
Aracudas.
Aracudas,
which is such a great name.
I love it.
If Miyamoto was here, he would have called them like Stupin Darks or something like that. It just would have been complete nonsense.
He likes heart. I'm sure he came up with this. Or Guitar Hero 3, you know, one or the other.
Big fan. But yeah, this is this was just so funny to me because he's just like, oh, I need to get it back. What am I going to do? And I don't know if it's just the set that I have. It was one hit KO on those guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're not that strong.
Yeah, they look just, scary. They go down.
Yeah, they look scary, but they're like away.
I was surprised by like the very first time I fought one that, yeah, they just go down in one hit no matter the bow.
But after that, we get a scene where he gets his bow back, and then I believe
what is Arito without his bow? You know,
well, yeah. And you talk about it's his favorite bow and all of that stuff. And then we are prompted to fight a number of other creatures, and this is where basically it starts the team up with Tolan here. He's mm-hmm. fighting alongside us, but I don't think we can activate him at this moment yet. I think it can we do
well,
it here
we,
I don't think
we
need
to activate
him
when before we get the bow, because we have to follow the monster, don't we?
Yeah, we have to like fly across a gap.
Yeah, we have to fly across a chasm.
He's like, I can push you a little bit further because I can control the wind. I'm so cool. All the adults are impressed with me.
It's like the champion Revali, only horizontal
only
instead
forward.
Of vertical.
Yeah. Yes.
And not
also,
dead.
I'm short.
And not dead.
Not dead.
And not a prick.
Fundamental differences.
Yeah, so sorry for getting that stuff out of order here, but this is where we start with a new mechanic that I think it's fair to say this is going to be a recurring thing we meet new powerful friends, that they're going to each have their own ability that we'll be able to call at will. It does have a cooldown.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe we will get the ability to lower that cooldown. I've gotten some items. I think all of us gotten these medallions? Have we found any of these yet?
I have not, but I've heard enough about them.
I have one.
Yeah. You can find one in, I think it's, yeah, in this area in one of the Sky mm-hmm. Islands. And it's, okay. It's a Sage's something?
Sage's Will.
Sage's mm-hmm. Will.
Yeah. It's a blue thing. It's got some little teardrop-shaped items spinning around in it.
Ooh.
And it's just like, ooh.
Very reminiscent of the Sage medallions mm-hmm. that you got in Ocarina of Time. To me, at least, I think those kind of fit in the same kind of thing.
I mean, kind of, but not. They're all blue. They're all the same
color.
No, like,
it'd be great if we had different ones.
They don't have any different patterns. They don't have any different, like, colors. They're all just kind of, like, the same. They feel to me more like the spirit orbs that we got, or the goddess orbs or whatever, from the first game, you know? They feel more like that, in that they have, like, this special symbol in the middle that is obviously representative of, like, the sages, as opposed to representative mm. of, like, the Kingdom of Hyrule kind mm. of thing.
I haven't brought this up, but y'all, there's a lot of currencies in this game.
There's a ton of currencies.
I don't mind it because they're all sort of like, it's just the way this game is built. It's leading you towards stuff, and you want stuff because with stuff you can get better stuff. And well, so it's like I think it's fine.
In Breath of the Wild, what's that? Go ahead.
So I was going to say, I think it's fine in that they're not necessary, and it's cool to find them because you're just out and about wandering anyway. You get to the bottom of a cave, or you get to the top of a sky island, and there's some orb in there, and it's great. Cool, new orb. As opposed to, if we think back to Star Fox Adventure, there were all those fuel cells, which was like this extra currency that you had to have, but you didn't need it most of the time, but when you did need it, it was annoying. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think in Breath of the Wild, there were plenty of people who were asking for all manner of different things, and here in this game, it just seems like, well, now the thing I'm asking for is like put in the top corner when I'm asking for it, and it looks like a new currency, like the little glowing triangle things that the ore turns into or whatever, mm-hmm. and so it just feels grating in a way that isn't any different than the first game. It's just, I don't know, it just seems more special or more talked about in a different way. They might as well just say, hey, I need 10 restless crickets.
Mm-hmm. I do appreciate that there are no, there's no cap. It's not like I can only carry like 30 of these at a time before I have to turn them in. It's just, I have infinite capacity for all of these currencies. Link's just got a bunch
That's
of like jangling pouches around with different kinds of currency in them, you know?
So many times in other Zelda games, you would have to plan around that, where I would in particular, where I would be like, I can't go in a dungeon. I have a full wallet. I need to go and spend this money right now because I know I'm going to open with chests with... But I know I'm going to open chests with money, and then I'm not... I'm either... Some games, you just don't get the money, or others, the chest will close. Like later games, it'll be like, you can't use this. We're going to close the chest. But I'm like, I'm not coming back.
Yeah. Or like in... the Oracle games, like, you can only wear two rings, like, but I have 10 fingers, and each finger can have a lot of rings on them.
Little did you know, can't do it. That Link only had two fingers. You just never could see it on the Game Boy. Anyway, after this battle, Teba and, let's Hearth? Be honest, was it Hearth or was it his mom?
Oh. Sucky.
Teba and someone else come by, and basically Teba gives the talking to Tolan here of just being like, I told you, you're good, but you're not that good. And he, you know, I was worried it was going to go on a little too long of him being kind of stubborn teenager and all that stuff, but him just getting his favorite bow taken away wasn't enough of a lesson for him, I guess.
I feel like he's like, that makes me feel like he's a young teenager. He's like 13, 14, not like 17, 18, you know? He's like a little teenager. He's got a little bit of spunk, but he's just like, okay. You know?
God, I hate you guys.
Yeah, God.
I'm gonna go fly away.
Guess you're right, Mom. I'm sorry. Sorry, Dad. Right.
Can I go with the hero, the champion of good?
Yeah, I'm going with my best friend Link.
If Link goes with me, does it count? Can he be my babysitter?
I'll go to Tashi's station, pick up some power converters.
But and also he's not allowed to leave the region too. He's like, you know, he's not old enough to be allowed to leave yet either. This is where we just sort of have an understanding between the two of them that, okay, yeah, you kept everything together, but you have to keep in mind you could still get yourself hurt, and this is still important. But then it was enough that Teba is like, okay, go on with the hero and jump into the giant tornado that's ravaging our land.
Confirmed that whatever's causing the blizzard is in there. Yeah, because I think that was part of the reconnaissance. They're like, sure, we definitely know you're the only person who can get up there. So,
do they see the shape? I think they see the shape of something in it when they're up there too. Not necessarily.
That might take us
like,
a minute before
we
see.
I think
that.
They know there's something up there, but there's also boats all around the outside. Once we get up there,
yeah, it's snowy. It's hard to see, and I don't know how far these birds can see. Can birds see really far?
Birds usually have pretty far.
Birds come in two varieties. Terrible eyesight, amazing eyesight. There's not a lot in the in-between.
But if they do have the in-between, they just fly in circles. So now we are sort of officially on the path to the temple here.
Oh, boy.
We're going to take a quick break when we get back. I'm going to call this the start of the temple. I think this is what we call it.
That's fair.
And we're back, and I think BC immediately has an objection.
Well, no objection. There's just one thing I wanted to ask about before we talk about the temple. The one thing I wanted to bring up. One, flame emitters, still the second best Zonai device after rockets. The tower in this area is surrounded by all these brambles, and it's super fun to just like light those on fire and fly above them with flame emitters. But also in this section, I believe in this section, in this, the Sky Island has one of those sage's wills, And that was the first one I found. But there's I need to go back then. Mm-hmm.
I need to go back then because I didn't get mine there. I got my two in. There's some floating islands in sort of the in the area that we're at. It's in like the southmost cluster of floating islands.
There is one above Hebra also.
Okay, so. Then I need to go back. I need to do some more looking around in there.
Mm. Yeah, but there's, in addition to that, there is another one of those flux constructs, mm-hmm, that I fought and actually used the item that you get from them and fuse it to a weapon. Super fun. But mm-hmm, the thing I wanted to ask about, particularly Tegan, did you find the Sky Island with the ancient Hylian statue or,
yes,
like writings?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And it says, you can't read this.
I found that too. It's a, yeah, flower shape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I went to there and I was like, oh yeah, I haven't been on this one. Let's get whatever's on there because it's by itself. So there's going to be either a Korok or some treasure chest. Mm-hmm. And it was a mystery.
Yeah. I have great news. There's one of those also above Central Hyrule.
Yeah.
There's a flower thing with a thing in the middle that I can't read.
How did you all get up there?
Too late.
There's a bunch of climbing. There's a lot of little like climbing along the walls.
So what I did, I went up to, so there's that like tower one, which is where you can get the body piece for the glide suit.
Okay.
If you have that, which I grabbed. But so I went up to the top of that and I had a bunch of stamina potions and I flew and I would use Tulin to push me and then I would drink a stamina potion when I ran out of energy, mm-hmm, and I just kept like gliding over that way because I was like, I want to know what that is and I don't know where to go to get high enough other than this spot.
So I think it's from the Sage's Will spot, I use my kooky contraption with a hot air balloon taped to a wing and just, ooh, rose into the sky and then coasted. So,
oh, that's really smart.
Yeah, it works. Like I said, works way better than it should. But I just wanted to ask if anybody else found that before we dove into the meat of the dungeon. So,
oh, okay. So I was confused about like where you were talking about in that. So, because I, yeah, when at this point when you're like going up the mountain, that's why I thought you were talking about like to the temple. And I was like, it gives you like platforms like right in front of you to go up. What are you talking about? Yeah, we make our way up this mountain and we quickly find these boats that we get stopped by Tolan, and he's just like, what is this thing? And then he just mentions about like, oh, there's just like a boat here and it looks like the ancient sort of thing or whatever.
It's like, what is this thing? It's the thing that made me put the controller down and go, I love this game. I jumped onto it and just flew into the air and was just like, it's going to be like this until I get to the whirlwind. Yes, yes, please, please give me more of this.
It just became like a Mario Odyssey level. Oh.
And there's not like one way to get up there. Like, mm-hmm, these things have little hidden spots. There's ways to, if you're looking at it, you can be like, oh, I could actually ascend right there if I move some things around or blow, mm-hmm, something up. Or I could go a different way, fight a guy, and then hop in there and ascend from there. And like, it's not just one way to do. You can tackle it any way you want.
So basically, I didn't do a super great job of like exploring this like pre-wind temple section. But I did find one Korok up here.
Well, that's fine because you have 150,000 already.
I have
so many
Koroks. But I'm concerned that there are more now up there in that section that I may have missed. So I'm going to have to go back. But there's at least one up there.
Okay.
There was one that wanted to find his friend and I tried several times and I eventually just said, no, absolutely not. You're on your own. I'm gone.
I tagged it with a leaf and moved on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the best way to really do it. Just like, because unless you know, especially like, I guess we should bring it up too, that Hestu, we did find him and he mm-hmm. didn't go that far. Mm-hmm. He is just back in Castletown now. And so you can just go check in with him. But the my point being that at some point he's probably going to move again. We're going to do so many. He's going to move. I would say, yeah, marking them and then not worrying about them until you're like, I need more slots and I know where Hestu is.
Mm-hmm. I think the way that the town feels like it's going, I don't know if he's going to move again. But we can talk about that later. I've got plenty from what I turned in all of my meager that, but a peasant I am in Korok seeds. I had like 50 and I'm sitting pretty on weapon slots. I think I'm doing okay.
I feel comfortable for sure.
I sit atop my mountain of Korok seeds.
like a cat on top of a guy made out of gold. Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're making our way up here. So, a few things that we come across mechanics wise are these really thin frozen ponds that I just jumped on them. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if there was a better way to do it, but I just kept like repeatedly jumping on them.
At first, I don't know if there's a way to do it like this, but yeah, I was jumping on them too, but eventually it was a better way.
So initially, I thought that you had to fall from a high distance to go through them, but you do not. And I almost killed myself multiple times doing that.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, eventually all of them, because the first one we see has like ground underneath it and like a hidden chest. There's a few of them like that. But as we go up, the majority of them haven't just... a hole underneath into a trampoline, and so I was falling from great distances to just go straight
just
through it
for
and,
fun yeah
bounce real high. Yeah, it's great. I love this section. I love it.
This section was a lot of fun. It was fun to traverse for sure,
which we're not really used to, because even in Breath of the Wild, like, the design behind navigation was original and game changing, but it wasn't like necessarily like a fun thing in the same way that like your Insomniac Spider-Man is, where, you know, they get around and they build this thing about like comboing the things you're doing to move quickly. Typically it's you climb up a thing and it's slow and it's methodic. Then you jump off and you slowly glide, and you're sort of like taking your time with a lot of this stuff. The most speed you got was getting on a horse or later on a motorcycle. And so now even the contraptions we're making, you don't get a lot of speed from it. But with this here, we are being launched up in the air, like back and forth. Now with Tolan's ability to push us in different directions, we are moving in a way that we haven't before in this game and in Breath of the Wild.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it is definitely funneling us up this, like, you know, kind of spiral path all the way up, but it's still open. You can still kind of come at it however you really, you know, you want to. There are multiple ways to do it.
And
you can use it as an opportunity to look around and tag some stuff.
Yeah.
Yep, you can do that too.
But don't fall off.
Yeah, don't fall off.
You can miss. Yeah, there was one time I fell and I was like, oh no. Oh, yeah. And I didn't think at the time. I was like, I need to go back to a save.
Yes.
Because I didn't hit a shrine yet up there. There's two shrines up there. Mm-hmm. I didn't hit one of them yet. And it was like, I wasn't thinking I could have just loaded a save, but
it didn't occur to me until I fell off that, oh, this, it, yeah, it's not going to be like when we were on the Great Skyland.
Yes.
Like as soon as I fell off, I was just like, I realized the safety net was gone.
That is one thing that annoyed me a lot about this section, is that there's areas where it's the classic Mega Man, you step on a platform and it drops.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you would think that you could just really easily rewind those. But the problem is, as soon as those rocks hit the ground, they bounce like crazy. So I fell and was on the rock, and I just like oh, I'm going to rewind back. And I watched it shoot off into the distance as soon as it landed. And so it was a multi-step process of rewinding it and rewinding it and then realizing I could hit something with rewind or recall, I should say. Mm-hmm. I could hit something with recall and then jump onto the side of it. And even though it's flipping through the air, Link is still holding on as the thing is going topsy-turvy and shooting into the sky.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic. But there, like I said, there's two shrines in here. One is the Rauru's Blessing, which we haven't mentioned, I guess, because it really is just like, here you go. Here's an orb. It's either you've already done a challenge to get up here, or in this case, which I guess in this case it was making it this far. They were like, yeah, it's a checkpoint here. Just there keep going.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
And then another one of the shrines is a bouncing puzzle. It is just a self-contained bouncing on these sails, the ship's sails.
It's like, hey, this mechanic's going to be important. Here's a spot to practice.
Here's a spot where you do have a safety net, and if you fall down, we'll just put you back on the ledge you were just on.
Right. But and this was so thematically cool because we keep going higher, and you're just like, it's still going. It's still going, but not in a way where you're like, God, will this never end? It's just, you're just blown away by how big this is.
Mm-hmm.
Until
at some point, my fire rod on my back no longer sufficed for warmth. And like, we had gotten to an altitude where like I had to eat a meal. And so I was like, okay, we're really getting up there now. Like this is serious.
Eventually it leads to us bouncing higher and higher right outside of a cyclone that we start to see the shape a little more of something inside of there.
The ships are moving.
Yeah. And you can, again, you can miss, which is appreciated. It makes it not feel like a linear sort of thing where you're just like, it's not like a quick time event kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. Where you're just jumping and then it'll just automatically take you to a thing. You are having to time some things. I had to go back a few times where I'm like, I'm not going to land on this thing properly. I need to go back again and, you know, aim for a different one and push myself at the right time. And
I missed and like grabbed onto the ship like just at the last second and then climbed up it as it was, you know, spinning around and hopped. Oh, so good.
I didn't miss at all. I was just like, all right, here we go.
Boing, oh, la-di-da.
Bling, bling. It was just like, it was so easy for some reason, but it was also so fun. I don't know. I don't know why. I was in like a zone for it, for sure.
It's just satisfying because it's not like some kind of spring in a Sonic game where you just touch it and it's just like boing, like just sends you. You feel the momentum of it where you're like, you're dropping down for a second and then you launch up and it's like, you do feel it in a way that just makes it nice.
Mm-hmm. And you've got a second before you can even pull out your glider. You got to like kind of hit the apex, which I've noticed with recall, things that you recall back into the sky act like that too. Link has momentum. If you jump off while it's shooting up, you're also still kind of shoot, like you have vertical momentum along with it, which is cool.
That'll probably be important later.
Yeah, possibly. So we keep going until we're at the top of the cyclone, and then we drop into the cyclone, and then this is where the game says, this is the temple now. And I was just like, up to this point, I still thought this was what the dungeon was. I thought, like, this is what they were going to do for it. They were going to go something radically different with it, because it felt like, it just felt like one. Like, we were navigating, we spent a lot of time in there. We didn't necessarily have to solve too many puzzles, but they did have some puzzles throughout. There were a few times that you can find some little areas off the beaten path, find some treasure chests, get some items in there. But it felt like if it came to the end and I fought a boss, I would have been satisfied there. But no, then they give us the actual temple here. And this is the Stormwind Ark.
Yes, or Waka's ship or something.
Waka.
The wolf. Okami.
I don't remember that.
the boat at the end of the game.
Yeah, so we get into here and we can run around a little bit, but really we got to go impress. We got to, what's the name for these things? The little buttons. Like, we have the green circle hand buttons that
I don't know what to call
them. Touch and activate things.
Like, we got to, we'll need a name for them, I guess.
Your keychain.
My keychain. Right here, I've got it on a button right here. So we'll just go
and then
we'll see
what
happens.
I think they're just like ultra hand points.
But there's
presumably all of the Zonai hands look like that. So
right.
Whether they're magic or not.
It's your typical Zonai light switch.
Right.
You go and flip it and something happens. In this case,
who watches over you?
It tries to open up this hatch in the middle. But the gears are stuck. And then we're told you got to unlock the 5 gears in order for it to open up. And then we get on our map, all these little points appear. And then if you happen to leave the temple because you were ahead of everyone else and did some exploring and changed your icons, and then you come back and you're like, where am I even going in here? Remember, you can select the quest you're on and it will highlight things on the ship for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to remember that going forward too. Like, if I need to know where something is and I know there's a quest for it, select it on your menu to do that quest and get some kind of icon to give you an idea of where you're supposed to be going.
Mm-hmm.
But, this is where we have, we go into this ship. There's a number of different chambers to go through, a number of different puzzles to solve.
There's some Aracudas. There's some just cannons. Mm-hmm. On the ship.
If you hang out around the outside of it, yes, a cannon will Guardian style put a laser pointer on you and then shoot a cannon at you.
Will it target you? Because I never got a laser pointer like on me. They were like way out here and I was like, okay, I'll just recall your cannonball.
Ha ha. Oh.
I never paid attention to them.
Oh,
but
okay.
At some point I did get pointed at.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that must be the cannon. I should move.
It does follow you, but you have to kind of be, like, if you take the giant airstream in the center way up, the one on top of the ship will target you. Or if you glide off to the side, there's some on the sides that will target you. But they typically won't hit you unless you're gliding for a while.
You got to be hanging out up there for a minute. Or like me, when I first got in here and jumped in, through the top, I saw the cannon and it was just like pointing straight up. And I was like, oh, I should see if I can like drop in through the giant hole of this dome. And then it started moving and pointed at me. I'm like, I don't think that's what I'm supposed to do.
We also should mention when we got there, Tolan heard a voice.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
This is not the first instance of Tolan hearing a voice. He hears a voice on our way up as well.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And it's, do you remember what it said? It said like gain your power or something like that.
Come to me, child. And
come
receive,
to me, child.
Receive. Come to me, fledgling specifically.
Yes. Yes. We're in the temple now though. And there's a number of different puzzles in here. Again, this is very much like the Divine Beasts. The way this, this especially felt a lot like the Divine Beast, because you would go to different chambers, unlock a door somewhere. Eventually, you just sort of like circle back around and you're just, it doesn't feel like, go ahead.
In the Divine Beast, they all have a map, a way that you can control them and change the state of the beast, which this doesn't really have.
This one doesn't.
Right.
We could get one later. We don't.
Right. We could.
Maybe not, but we could.
But even still, like with the different power ups, it feels completely different. You're trying to think about it in a different way. I was trying to figure out if there were ways I could ascend or had to ascend to get certain things done. But yeah.
I know one of my favorite puzzles in here involved the gears to open a door. And the way I did it, I assume this is what they expected you to do, is there was one where there were these two gears that were like really far from each other, and you could take one of the icicles, break it off and stick it onto the gear and make it rotate, and it would eventually start pushing the other gear.
I was just like, oh man, I love
assuming
this game.
You look up and see the icicles before you stare at that gear for like 5 minutes, so...
PC, do you eventually just drop a bunch of weapons? I mean, you probably could. You could just drop all your weapons, stick them all together, and then do the same effect.
So I think the problem with that I had was I was very tired when I did this dungeon. So essentially, the thing is, you can stick a smaller... I had pulled some item or something from the other side of the chasm that's like right before this puzzle. I brought it over somehow, and I stuck it to the first wheel, and I was like, okay, I only have to turn this wheel to get it to work. And if you turn the wheel enough, it'll open for a second. So I kept being like, okay, maybe I'm not getting it in the right position. Maybe I'm supposed to be like turning it backwards. And it took a while for me to get to a point where I realized, oh, it just has to be connected to this other wheel and constantly moving. I think you can also connect a fan to it, because that's what I did in the later section. I just stuck a fan to one of these gears and just made it rotate around to open the door.
Oh, so just using your Zonai gear on that.
Yeah.
Like, okay. There you go. You did differently. I didn't do that. Awesome.
I gotta go to the Gachapon again and get a bunch of stuff.
The Gacha's
man,
so fun.
I went to one and gave them like five of the large ones. And I sat there for like literally 30 seconds watching this thing pour stuff out. And I was like, I don't need these this many things,
yes,
guys.
You do.
Like,
yes, you do.
I mean, I haven't used them enough. I need to use them more for sure.
It's time to build a war machine. I saw someone build a TIE fighter.
Yeah, some of the stuff online, man. Have you seen the one of like that launches a drone?
Yeah,
it's a ship. Launches
a drone.
I've
been trying not to, like, if I see those on Instagram, I just scroll by them because it's like, I don't need to know. I'm going to get there on my own. Like,
but I don't think you'd get here on your own. Are you an engineer, BC?
I'm a ghetto engineer, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Oh my God. The things I've seen people create are, I'm just like, we are not. I'm with like the other camp of people who are like, we're not playing the same game. I don't know what game you're playing, but I'm not playing that game.
I did see, Brian, you'll like this. I'll just describe it, where it was talking about, like, you know, everyone else, like, content creators talking about, oh, here's the thing that I made that does all this, and it costs this much and all the, you know, to use all that. And then they were like, speedrunners, stick a piece of wood to an apple and you'll fly at the speed of sound. And someone has found, they found a glitch that they've done it where they fuse just an apple to one of the boards and they sit on it and they have to like stick it on a tree and then it glitches out enough that it just starts moving on its own. But you can still move on the board to kind of guide it on where you want to go. But it was flying. And so it's like,
right.
Okay, there's the new speedrunning technique.
Cool.
I can see it.
I'll see it next week when I'm, or you know, whenever this comes out. But I'll probably get some. I'll probably be around enough people playing that game that I'll just see what because I haven't looked at the new run. It's like it was an hour and a half. God knows where it is now.
What are you going to just watch it for like 5 minutes and then they're going to go beyond that you care and you're just like, nope, can't watch it
anymore?
Yeah,
no, I'm not going to see any. I'm not watching any of that for a while. I probably won't watch until next January when they run it again.
And then it'll be a whole different game anyway.
Yeah.
It'll actually probably be fun to rewatch the one previously then,
mm-hmm.
and then whatever the new one is.
Well, whenever I make the episode about it, I'll do all of that research.
Yeah. Another thing I really like in this game that it's just the physics stuff. We have these switches that are like these levers. And as far as I know, what you want to do is just use your ultra hand to grab it and move it. And it feels really natural to me at this point, like running up to the thing, doing ultra hand, grabbing it and then flicking my left stick and it pulls it, where I think like we're doing more buttons here than it would be in a previous Zelda game where you would go up and press A and watch an animation of Link pull down a switch or something like that. But this is so much better. Like, in my opinion. I feel like it's just so much better to just be like, I'm still playing the game. I'm still controlling this. I'm still doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that was great. And then, like, when I grabbed an icicle and stuck it to one of those switches and pulled it, and was just like, I love this. This is great. Also, you have to keep in mind that I have a burning thing of fire on my back. So all of the icicles that I'm dealing with, I have to quickly deal with them or deal with them at a distance or, like, grab them with Ultra Hand and then push them away from me to then attach them to other things or whatever, because I am just so hot.
My pants didn't do that, Brian.
Yeah, that's cool. I have pants.
No, it's not cool, actually. It's the whole point of the pants.
Whatever, I'm not comfortable wearing pants.
Any other things, BC, that stood out to you in this dungeon?
No, I think we covered them all. I had a decent time.
Oh. There's some, like, I guess it's like environmental clues in one of the rooms where there's a captain soldier construct who fused with, like, this slab of rock and was beating me up with it, and I killed him, and I was like, oh, that's weird. And then I looked around and there were more slabs of rock, and I was like, wait a minute, and looked up, and that was where I needed to go. I was like, oh, cool, the roof fell in, and it's scattered around, and I can do things with it. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, a clue to go up that way. It was really, it's good. It's good. All of this is good. We didn't get to see the Resident Evil room with all the lasers. It was in this spot,
Oh,
place.
The thing is, there is a shrine that does that even more.
Okay.
It does an even more Resident Evil movie laser scene. So, yeah, I was very much like thinking that beforehand, and then it kept being more like that scene. So, Tegan, anything else in this dungeon?
It was a good time. I did, for a moment, I got a horrible, when I, like, realized that the wind temple itself was going to be a big boat, I had a horrible realization that I was like, am I going to get lost? Am I going to get lost like I did in the Lanero Desert dungeon that was also just a big boat and be like, but no, it was really easy to navigate, which was really nice. There was enough, like, different like features that I didn't get hopelessly lost in one boat. I did multiple times jump off one side of the boat and be like, okay, we need to be on this side. No, we need to be on the other side. And then I go back up and then I jump off the same side of the boat.
Yeah. I mean, it is a lot of that, though, of jumping off the side of the boat or jumping off, just looking at the boat at different angles and being like, what am I missing? There's got to be somewhere for me to access this spot of the boat. I was getting big Skyward Sword feels from the boat itself, looking at it, but it's not that.
I did appreciate that, like, the head of the boat, the ornamental part was, like, these bird heads, and then the stern was all tail feathers. I thought that was really nice. Like, that kind of stuff was fun. Out.
So thought out. But after we get all the gears and we hit that light switch again, it opens up. And this starts the boss battle. And this is Scourge of the Wind Temple, Colgara.
Talk
to your doctor if Colgara is right for you.
Oh, my God. I tried to take so many pictures of this little guy, and I could not do it. It would not let me use my camera, which felt really rude.
So, well,
are you out of space?
No, I just couldn't. It wouldn't let me do it. I never once landed on the ground. And
that's what
I said.
You have to be on your feet.
Yeah, so it wouldn't let me do it. I kept trying to
the screenshot.
I'm like, I want to take a picture. And it was like, no, illegal to use camera. Illegal to use camera.
Did you tell him it was for the gram?
No, I tried. I was like, listen, I just want to get your visage. And it was like,
sit still for the picto box.
Yeah, exactly.
Need to make a figurine out of you.
BC, why don't you go ahead and describe this fight and how you went about it?
Yeah, so giant teleporting worm in the sky, pretty standard fare.
Right.
Actually, really dug this fight, and I did it the overkill way, because essentially you see Colgara flying through the air, and there are, I think, three different rings that resemble those ice patches that you were breaking on the way up, up to the temple. And so the idea is to destroy those patches of ice and then expose the weak spot underneath and then hit all three. So you can do that from the top. If you're above Colgara long enough, he'll eventually start shooting out spines from the top. But the easier way is to just like dive down next to him, pull out the bow, and shoot those ice spots. I thought you had to use bomb arrows, or that bomb arrows would do more damage, and it was also just more fun to use bomb arrows, so I just did that for the beginning of the fight. But I think you could just use any normal arrow.
Used the fire fruit just because I figured you'd have to.
Yeah, but I did fire fruit too.
I didn't even think to try and test just shooting Link through it.
I thought about like it afterwards, and I was like, oh, I wish I could have done that. That would have been so cool.
Yeah.
It didn't
occur to me.
Well, one, and it is so fun because you just hit it, and you just keep falling.
Good, I'm glad.
And it's just screaming as you do it, too. Oh, that's so cool.
Oh, man. Oh, I want to do it now. Can we go back and fight them? Is this Majora's Mask?
I will say, this is another instance of, like, if you had picked up the flight suit, the chest piece of the flight suit before you came into this temple, you have a little more control over how your Link is maneuvering. And so it could potentially be a little bit easier to get where you're trying to go.
But what if the flight suit makes you feel uncomfortable?
I mean, yeah, there's that. But it does give you cute little tail feathers.
Oh, that makes up for it.
You can just shake them around. This was a cool fight. I don't think it was very hard, though.
No.
Like, it was really cool to be in the air the whole time of just going, you know, flying up in the air with the paraglider and then diving back down and just lining yourself up just right. Occasionally getting disoriented because it would go in through a wormhole and then come out somewhere else, and you're like, where are you? What's going on? Where is up? Okay, what's happening? But in general, like, you know, I had this battle done in like 90 seconds, right? It was fairly easy.
I do appreciate that it's just not a you know, it doesn't seem like these boss fights are going to be just different flavors of a Ganon Blight.
Yes. Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing.
Which they're fine and they're completely different fights, but like there's something distinctive about Colgara.
That's probably a part of it that makes this feel better than the Divine Beast 2, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we already know, I mean, unless we get Warm Gara in the Death Mountain, we get Dry Gara and Wet Gara.
Yeah.
Electra Gara.
I don't think that's how it's going
good
to
parties.
Be.
Who would have thought that every different civilization would have their own arc in the sky?
Oh my god.
They each tell the story but with different words.
Yeah.
I guess everyone has a flood mythology, so you know, whatever.
Right. But we kill them. We get a heart container, which I forgot about. Mm-hmm. I forgot that we'll still get a heart container here. So that's neat. Didn't have to sacrifice any stamina possibilities for that.
I'm up to five.
I have 8 now. And I also have a full extra ring of stamina as well.
Oh, okay. Investing in stamina.
I bounce back and forth.
Stamina.
So. Yes.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah. Little bit of stamina, and the rest I've dumped into hearts for now.
Mm-hmm.
When we can upgrade gear more, I'm not going to be so worried about hearts. But right now, doing my exploring, there's so many times that I just get hit one time and I'm dead, and I'm like, let's make that a little less.
I mean, this is kind of how I played Elden Ring, where I was like, if I'm getting hit, then that's the problem. So
then I've met, yeah.
That's fair.
Especially as a, you know, like a mage, where you don't want to be anywhere near whatever you're fighting.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, if I'm getting hit, that's the problem. I don't need more hearts to take two hits. I just shouldn't get hit.
Mm-hmm.
See, my concern is that eventually we're going to have like a master sword pulling moment, and I don't want to have to farm for hearts again to do
that. You won't have to.
So I'm going to hit 13, and then I'm going to like dump into stamina, I think.
Okay, yeah, assuming we're going to have the same requirement of hearts.
Right, yeah.
That's, I will like, say that.
Where my base
or another
is
one of those doors.
Yeah, another one of those assuming doors gonna be, that I can push through. We're like,
that's what
need,
I'm assuming.
I'm worried that I'm going to need like double the amount of hearts that I had before. So like they made you get 4. So like you'll need at least 8, maybe 9 to do the next set of doors or whatever.
So I should say that this actually gave me my 6th heart. But just like in Breath of the Wild, I ran into a guy who will do bargains with you. And as a part of teaching you about the bargain, he took away one of my hearts. And when he went to give it back to me, I was like, I'll take stamina. Ah. So now I'm down to 5 again.
Is this guy in our regions right now?
He is somewhere you can find him. You can't find him until after you do this.
Oh,
but
okay.
He's a place we can find him. He has upped his prices, though.
Oh.
So it's not as...
Everything's more expensive.
It's not as cheap, I don't think. I think, well, yeah, I don't know. I think the net loss was 20 rupees in the last one. It might be more in this one. Maybe not. Maybe I'm confused on that, so...
Oh, that's
but
not, that's not
in
bad.
These trying times, everyone has to raise their prices.
Yeah.
Economy is not what it
time
was.
Of, in no. the time of apocalypse. So we are given a cutscene here. Tegan, I wanna let you lead us through this cutscene.
Delighted. So we get a cutscene. We see Tulin sees, I should say. So first, like the center part of this area melts. And that's where we get our heart container. There is then, above this central fixture, one of those little, you know, half...
Tears.
Yeah, tears that, they're not actually tears anymore. Like, we know they're not. Because we've seen the tears in the geoglyphs. So, like, are these also tears? Should we
those
still
are
call
also
them?
Tears of the dragon.
It's plural, tears.
These are tears of the kingdom.
Different tears.
I mean, there's also the tears that were ascending and descending.
Right. Everything is anyway, naming
it's
things
a whole
is
tiered
hard.
System.
There's the tier. Let's rank the tiers. Let's do a
number
tier tier.
Number one, the ones that this fall is, from my eyes.
I'm putting this in liquid tier.
Okay. So there's a solid tier crystal. And... from that, like, this weird, like, this bright light emanates, and Tulin gets to meet his ancestor, the Sage of Wind. Very
yes.
exciting.
We get to, yeah, like, where they say, hey,
yeah,
sages are actually involved. Not just like, hey, well, there's a little sage coin over here. Like, I am a Sage of Wind.
Hello, I am the Sage of Wind.
And I'm going to tell you about another sage of time.
I served... the king, the first king of Hyrule, and I worked with the Sage of Time, and together that we all, me and the other sages, which are then shown to us, but not like named in any way, we worked together to try to seal Calamity Ganon, and we messed up, and it was bad. Turns out. But the Sage of Time told us that that Link would be coming and that we need to help him. And so now I'm going to, you, my descendant, I'm going to give you my power. Here it is. You're the new Sage of Wind. And like, essentially, like, the highest rank in the Rito. Here you go. Help the hero that the Sage of Time told us about. Mm-hmm. And the
here's a cool anklet.
Yeah, here's a cool anklet. It's like a little friendship bracelet. I hope you like it.
we're best friends now.
Yeah, but like he identifies Zelda. As far as we can tell, our Zelda from these past cutscenes, who got sent back in time as the Sage of Time specifically, which is fun. She hasn't had that mm-hmm. title in a while. I appreciate it. this is only our third Sage of Wind, technically, because we had Fado and we had Makar, and now we have this one.
Because we were the hero of winds.
Yeah, we were the hero of winds. Makar was the Sage of Winds. Fado was the Sage of Winds before him, in Wind Waker specifically. And then in the other games where they feature the Seven Maidens from Link to the Past, which are the descendant of the Wise Men, the other sages in like other games, they're not given specific like elements over. They're just like, mm-hmm. I'm the sage. I'm in this mm-hmm. dungeon. Let's do the thing. So,
I'm
like,
the sage with purple text.
Yeah.
I'm the sage with green text.
I'm the sage in the teal picture frame. I'm the sage in the red crystal. Like, all of that stuff. But they're like, no, I am the Sage of Wind. You are my descendant. And also, the Sage of Wind. And it's like, we're getting titles. It's very fun.
We also find out King Rauru sacrifices himself mm-hmm. to make sure that no one else dies when they mess up and to seal the Demon mm-hmm. King away.
The Demon King specifically.
Yes.
And we're definitely going to hear more of this story. Mm-hmm. Like we get little bits here and there. Was anybody else concerned about the voices?
Which voices?
No. Exactly. that was something that bothered me, because there was a voice that was telling Tolan to come up to the mountain. Mm-hmm. That is not the same voice that we saw in the flashback mm-hmm. of the Sage of the Wind. This is a different, I'm theorizing, this is not the sage. The sage that presented himself in front of Tolan isn't actually the sage. It's someone else speaking through that body, and there's some other plan going on right now, because that voice was a different voice.
You know what, you might not be too far off, because things are afoot. Things are not as they seem.
I don't think them getting this power is actually leading to us stopping. Did we say, what are we calling it right now?
We have not a Demon King.
The Demon King. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't believe what we are actually doing is going to stop the Demon King, because I mm-hmm. think the Demon King is actually a part of this.
I think it's interesting. This is my tell. So you're like, oh, the voices are different. And I'm like, the Sage of Wind never removed their helmet and never moved mm-hmm. their mouth. That beak did not open once in that entire cutscene.
Yeah. And we've got a... go ahead, BC.
But I was going to say, they all had masks on. And we talked mm-hmm. about that last time, about like the guards around Rauru and Zelda and Sonya. Or is it Sonya?
Sonya. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sonya.
With the half masks.
With all the half mask, and I think that's the aesthetic. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that was interesting to me is that they just said, oh yeah, the Demon King showed up. Like, where did he come from? Who is he? Why did they know he was coming? He's clearly not a Zonai. He's clearly not a Hylian. Just mm-hmm. some super powerful being that showed up out of nowhere.
And is he a Gerudo? We don't know. We don't know yet.
Yeah. And the guy Sonya is nowhere to be found. The original time controller is mm-hmm. not in the battle. So mm-hmm. what happens to Sonya?
Not in those flashbacks we saw. Also, I think it's something to note that the Demon King, as they're describing this character, the model they're using, like, is both, like, very obviously, like, supposed to make you go, like, oh, that's Ganon, right? But when I saw it in its, like, full, like, they give you a full-on frontal view of him, posing mm-hmm. and, like, a whole thing. Mm-hmm. That's Demise. That's Demise. That's Skyward Sword demise.
But we've also seen
Ganondorf's
the artwork.
Look like.
Seen him in his, you know, like shirtless samurai or like wandering samurai kind of look.
Well, we've seen that, like the artwork, but we've also seen him screaming in a trailer.
Yep.
Yeah.
And like Ganondorf, you know, full on, full stop Ganondorf.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Wait, did they say Ganondorf? Are we dealing with
Ganondorf?
It's Ganondorf.
Yeah, it's Ganondorf.
Okay. There is a Ganondorf.
When they revealed his artwork on the thing, they said Ganondorf.
Matt specifically said, "I'm pleased that I'm going to be playing that I played Ganondorf." Mm-hmm. Basically,
got it.
And like I say this like, "Hey, that's demise." Like we all know it's demise, but we've also been like hyper-analyzing these trailers, and we played through Skyward Sword recently and all of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So this is for, like, the people who may not have this quite as top of mind as, like, we would. Like, that is demise. That's not Ganon. That's not Ganondorf. That's demise that they're trying to fight against. That's our Demon King.
Right.
Although why they're calling demise the Demon King is its own thing. I'm sure we'll find that out.
And we can't just chalk it up to be like, oh, it's Zelda. They bounce back and forth between the names. No, they specifically have said that this is the third in a trilogy. Like, they need to be consistent with that terminology.
Mm-hmm. Already, this story is crazy good compared to Breath of the Wild. Like, there's much more going on here. I'm so in. Like, I can't wait to find out more.
Absolutely.
I'm learning new things all the time. This was great, though. 10 out of 10. Perfect cutscene. I'm watching this whole thing and I'm going, wait, you're what? You're who? Hello?
I knew you.
As I was playing through or like watching this, I was just imagining you, Tegan, exploding as this cutscene goes on into like a ball of light.
I was sitting there, they're like doing the conversation, and I'm just, I turned my little avatar, because I stream with an avatar, into like her little like excited bouncy state, because I was just sitting there going, everybody, like, to myself, because I'm the only one who's talking, I'm going, everybody shut up, I need to pay attention, stop talking to me, but like no one is actually talking to me, everyone's just going, ooh, and I'm like, no,
shh, shh, you shh,
and I'm very happy I have that all on the VOD, so that I can rewatch it later when I have to remember more things, you know, like, God, well, it was so good. Very excited.
Well, in our Discord, BC, you were doing some exploring and you found one of those sage medallions before us. And you said that. And I think the rest of us were just like, what word did you just say?
Yeah.
Where did you hear that word?
How do you know that word?
Yeah, I got caught up with spoilers. And I was like, it's like, I think it's a collectible. It's just out there in the middle of...
Yeah, and we're all like, what? And then, like, I found it, and I was like, oh, yeah, no, that stuff, that's a collectible, but also, why is this here?
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to wrap up this episode now. We have seen a lot. We have, we do end with Tolan giving us a ghost to go around and use his abilities, and he'll also fight alongside us.
We get Tolan's will. On.
Yes. With that, you'll be able to do a lot of more exploring, which is what we're going to do in the next episode. We are going to go ahead and unlock a new region just northeast of where we're at now, between Death Mountain and the uppermost northwest corner of the map. There's one region over there. We're going to do some more exploring. We can get around
it's
more.
Like above the castle, basically.
No.
Like it's a, not above, like, north of the cat, like, yeah.
It's north of Central Hyrule to the left.
Yeah.
Not directly north of Central Hyrule.
Okay.
North and to the left.
It's a sliver. It's a sliver in between. We kind of, like, the region we've unlocked curls around the bottom of it, which has annoyed me. I'm like, I can't do anything in this little spot here, but we're going to do that. We're going to explore. We're going to wrap up by going back into Castletown, checking with some people there. I'm sure we've got some depths quest to take care of. So we're going to do that, and we'll probably be making a decision on where we're going to go, what direction after that. So do some exploring, go power up some more, do some more shrines, go down to the depths if you're brave enough, get some items, have some fun, and then be back
please
here.
Please go down to the depths. Please.
then meet back here, and we're going to talk about it on Chat of the Wild.